Here we go. All right, I really want to get into this because I'm going to record a backup copy of this because I'm concerned that this isn't being transmitted. That this show may have nothing. It might just be blank air. And if it is, that's fine. Because I got a backup copy, and I'll just put that out there. The concern I have, and this is why I feel like it's so important for me to get this out there right now, is that we look back a couple years ago, and President Trump was putting pressure on China. All of a sudden, now Anthony Fauci, he is a devoted left winger, an absolute left winger. He, in the midst of all of this, has a vested interest in the Wuhan lab. Now, bear with me for a moment as I kind of explain some of this, as I go through some of this, because I think there's a real possibility that there's more that went on behind the scenes that we don't know about. By the way, if you wonder what's in my cup this morning, it's chai, but it's kind of weak. I didn't actually prepare it very well, so I got made it in the hotel here this morning, so it's not that great. Now, we have this issue. So we have the CCP was under a lot of pressure economically, and they were being threatened basically with the tariffs and everything that Trump was doing. He wasn't letting them get away with anything. The Chinese have a lot of inroads and a lot of fingers and tentacles into the U.S. government, especially on the left, but some on the right in some very powerful high positions. Ridiculously high positions on the left and the right. Their ability to... And then a lot of those high positions on both the left and the right were either leftists who hate Trump, or people on the right, supposed right, I call them rhinos, who were never Trumpers and didn't like Trump from the beginning. Somebody from the outside, this non-politician coming in here and telling us what to do. I didn't like that. People for some reason like professional politicians, who are professionals at manipulating and gaming the system, and gaming you in the process. So this is what was going on. And as they're doing all of this, all of a sudden, globally, there is a worldwide pandemic. And everything has to shut down. The U.S. has to shut down. Stop it. We have to shut down this economy. The economy was the one thing, far and above, that the Democrats knew Trump could ride the wave on and be absolutely more popular than he was the first time. There's no way they were going to put a candidate up against Trump with this economy the way it was. Unemployment at an all-time low. Gas prices down. Energy independence. This nation was rising like it hasn't risen since I've been a kid. Seriously. I after the Obama administration, I really didn't think that we would ever come back to the kind of economic strength worldwide that we were. And they had to put the kibosh on that any way they could, whether it's through impeachment, 2.0, 3.0, whatever they're going to do now. Which the January 6th commission is just another impeachment attempt. They have to tie everything to Trump. And even the witnesses that they called before them, the Capitol Police, blame Trump. They got their little 2 cents worth in to blame Trump. Every one of them, all four of them, five, however many there were, four or five of them. You tell me that those individuals represented all the Capitol Police. Every single one of them was an anti-Trumper. And there were people on the Capitol Police force that... In fact, Mr. Sicknick himself was a Trump supporter. The one that they claim got killed by the rioters. It's just a whole lot of misinformation, and disinformation Misinformation is when you say something and you make a mistake in saying it. Disinformation is when you deliberately give information that you know is false. We are getting a disinformation campaign coming from this administration and the people that surround it, including the DOJ and the AG. It has been shocking to me the lockstep way that these people are acting together. Amazing. All focused and all fueled by the anti-Trump message. You hear a lot of rhetoric about domestic terrorism being the number one threat. Of course, then you hear from John Kerry that global warming is the number one threat. But it's being caused, I'm sure, by domestic terrorists. When you hear domestic terrorists and white supremacy, they're continuing to say domestic terrorists and white supremacists are a tremendous threat to our country. Now, white supremacist number in, I'd say probably less than 10,000 people in this country, are what I would call white supremacists or even self-styled white supremacists. And the numbers, I don't know what the membership of the Ku Klux Klan is. I think I looked that up a while back on another show. And I'll go ahead and look it up now because it's that ridiculous. The numbers are way ridiculous, low in terms of how few there are. So I'm going to look it up right now. Let's just go with the KKK. Now there's other organizations. It's not the only one. Statistics and Immigration in America. The following charts: President of Book of City, George Blizzard. Ku Klux Klan, Conway, Shorten, Statistics, Immigration in America. Let's just look at this one here. From 1930, so this is from 1930 to 1944. There were less than a million in 1944. It doesn't even have statistics since 1944. Interesting. Yeah, I don't even know where to begin this shortened KKK. They don't even want the numbers out there. 1866, 2021. Let's see here. April 2021. It's American white supremacy hate group. It's 1865. Oh, this isn't even going to give me any information on it to this point. The numbers are so low. They don't even want anybody to know. That's basically what's happening here. 1870 is about the closest thing I'm finding here. 1867, 1868, there's no numbers. Over a period of 300 that's years, nice. That's nice. That's all these advertisements. So what is happening now is that we are getting all of this rhetoric about domestic terrorism and white supremacists. Now, they are saying that the people who attacked the Capitol, all of them, if you were on the lawn, if you were there for Trump's speech, you are a domestic terrorist, white supremacist. Anybody who voted for Trump, that is where they would like to go. They won't push it that far, but that is what is in their mind. They believe that anybody supporting Trump was a domestic terrorist, white supremacist. They've completely put you in that basket of deplorables. So keep that in mind as you're looking into it. Don't doubt me on that. You can if you want. You can doubt me if you want. But I'm telling you, that is where they would like to go. The radical left that's where they would like to put you. They all were after, you know, AOC thinks everybody was after her, and they were going to go after her, and they were going to do terrible things to her. It was all about her, and the other minorities in the cabinet, the squad, they all think that they were going to hang them all. And yet, they also say that they were going to kill Pence, who, of course, wasn't a minority. He wasn't. It's the radical mentality. They can put anything in anybody's. They can say, "Oh, this is what they were going to do. This is what they were thinking. This is what was in their head." Well, we don't know because they're in prison. And they will not, they're in solitary confinement. They won't let them talk to anybody. They won't even let them out. They won't give them any kind. Even senators and congressmen cannot visit them or see their condition. These people are being treated very badly. Very, very badly. They're not getting their day in court. These are U.S. citizens. And the reason they have to treat them like insurrections, even though they haven't been charged with insurrection, they've been charged with trespassing, defamation of government property. It's just ridiculous what they're going through. Now, follow me on this. So we're getting to this point now. So we've got this rhetoric going on. So the Chinese government now all of a sudden came out of this pretty good, surprisingly enough, after all this COVID stuff. Of course, they got world pressure on them now to pay reparations, and now it's kind of starting to come out that this Wuhan lab thing, that it probably was from the Wuhan lab. Oh, of course, it was just an accident. Okay, well, the next place that we're going with this is that it wasn't an accident, that it was deliberate. I'm going to give you my opinion on this. I believe it was deliberate. It was made to look like an accident. There were people who took the fall. There were people early on who died. There were people early on who were taken in by the government, arrested, and never seen again. And some whistleblowers that came out that had to basically get out of the country. Some of the whistleblowers died. And so there's a lot of issues surrounding the whole origins of this thing. And interestingly enough, you know, Fauci basically took control of the country. The shutdown, the moratorium, all the other things that were going on behind the scenes. And, you know, the initial, you don't have to wear a mask. Then all of a sudden you have to wear a mask. The leftists started to organize around this thing and started to realize their power that they had. The governors, you know, the more they could instill fear in people. When you had people saying words, and I'm generalizing, but this is a pretty close quote to what some people said, some of the people on the left were saying. This is the worst healthcare crisis we have had in the history of this country. The worst pandemic the world has seen. The most dangerous virus on the planet. That's what some of these people were saying. It is not. And it has not been. We have had far more deaths in this country with a smaller population from other diseases that have hit this country and the world. We have other diseases in this world that are much more deadly, much more transmissible, extremely far more dangerous with regard to survivability. But this one is convenient for them. They're able to use this. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're using... I don't know why. Now I've got issues here. Oh, there we go. They're using this to their advantage. The left is. Now, keeping that in mind, think about the people who are giving you these orders and the rhetoric and the narrative that they are now portraying. We're coming up on another election year, the midterms. Very critical midterm election this year. The Democrats stand to lose the House and the Senate. There is what's looking like a massive anti-blue wave. I'm going to call it a red wave, but it's really more of an anti-red, anti-blue wave. And the Republicans are loving this with some trepidation. The establishment Republicans are going to look at it as the establishment is back. We did this without Trump. Well, they're not going to do it without Trump. His endorsement is going to carry a lot of weight. A lot of things are coming out now that are showing that Trump was right on a lot of this stuff. American people are not stupid. And that's the way the left and the establishment's on the establishment right likes to think of you. There was a really good interview with Maria Bartiromo that, hey, Doss. Oh, Doss is gone. Maria Bartiromo the other night had a really good interview. She pressed one of the Republicans about this stuff. And he was talking about how they're trying to work with the Democrats and trying to do this and do that. She said, well, why don't you just work for the people and say no to this stuff? She didn't give him time to answer that. She just went on with her rant because she basically was just filleting this guy in a serious way. And I thought it was brilliant what she was saying. She had no holds barred. She was just after him. And wasn't letting back, you know, wasn't holding anything back. So this, because she was talking about the stimulus bill and it, you know, going through that whole thing, the establishment wants to think that they are going to win back the day and they're going to be back on top again, because these low life, scummy Trump supporters are going to be gone. Now I don't know. Here's my point about Trump. I'm not a big Trump flag guy, yard sign guy, or anything like that. I'm not that guy. I'm an anti-establishment guy, and this establishment, Republican establishment thing, Trump was the antithesis of that. If for no other reason, that's why I support the guy. On policy, I had to agree with him 90% of the time, 95% of the time. On the way he lives his life and other issues, I don't necessarily. You know, guy's not my pastor, okay? He's had his issues in his life. He's had problems and issues. However, it's hard to, you know, the guy was actually a lot cleaner than what the FBI thought. The FBI thought they were going to have a heyday with this guy and coming up with all kinds of things. They had to make stuff up on this guy. They had to falsely accuse him of doing things. They had to make stuff up. So, you know, is he a spiritual giant? Is he a, you know, huge biblical believer? No. But he's got some principles and some core principles that I align myself with. Politically and as far as economically and even morally, there's some things that he was on track with that I have to say I have to agree with. And this is where the American people are, I think. They understand what this guy was doing. And all the rhetoric from the left, all the accusations, all the, you know, De Niro. Let's look at Hollywood for a minute. Robert De Niro came out and said, he's a pig, he's a thug, he's a punk. I'd like to punch him in the face. Okay. And yet you support and gave accolades to Cuomo. And I don't hear you coming out and calling him names now after everything that he's done, including the issues where he sent COVID-positive people to nursing homes, along with Michigan and I think it was Pennsylvania. Other places that were doing exactly the same thing. It's pathetic. Then you have the DOJ not willing to investigate the New York, Michigan, and Pennsylvania must admit orders from the governors. The must admit order was the order where they told nursing homes that they had to admit COVID positive people. And that's the whole scandal right there. And of course, the DOJ is not gonna investigate that, because they got way too much on their plate to do with investigating domestic terrorism. Ridiculous. So let me pose a scenario for you. This is all theory. This is all my thoughts on what could possibly be happening and where this could end up going. And I almost hate to mention it because maybe nobody's thought of this already. But I know the left well enough to know that they're already thinking down these roads, this line of thinking. We're hearing a lot about the 90 million people who are unvaxxed, and they're the reason that this thing is spreading. Even though vaccinated people can spread the virus. You know, Joe says, we have a pandemic of the unvaxxed, or the vaccination of the unvaxxed is the pandemic. He mutters around in those. He doesn't even know what he's saying because it doesn't make any sense, and he's trying to make a possible sense. He's muddling up the narrative. That's what he's doing. The talking points and the little words that he's supposed to be saying. Because he's losing it. So we have this issue. So we have these mask mandates are coming back now again. And they're saying that people who are vaccinated need to be masked. Now, surprising enough, Obama has a birthday party where he had the, quote, sophisticated and vaccinated. It was a meeting of the sophisticated and the vaccinated. This was some of the elites in the way they talk about themselves. And that was okay. And they weren't wearing masks, of course. I have pictures of them not wearing masks. Because even though that's the CDC recommendations, is indoors, if you're vaccinated, you wear masks. And yet they weren't doing that, of course, because it's rules for thee, not for me. Now, it'll be interesting to see how many people get the COVID virus from that birthday party. They will never let you know how many. If they were there and they get the virus, they were never going to talk about it. I guarantee you. Here's my theory. And bear with me on this because it's still in my head. Chronologically, this is not probably going to make a lot of sense. But we have this issue where we have the virus is being somewhat contained. Things are not necessarily going up. The numbers were starting to stabilize. And we start vaccinating people. We vaccinate like crazy for 6 months. More and more people vaccinated. We've got the elderly and those with comorbidity issues, the high risk people. They were all getting vaccinated. All of a sudden, we start vaccinating younger and younger and younger, down to where we're saying we can vaccinate people under 12. Stick everybody. Got to protect the children. Well, the reason your children have to wear masks in school is because the unvaccinated people, those unvaccinated people are causing your children to have to wear masks in school now because we have to protect the children. Let's look at the numbers on children and COVID. It is absolutely ridiculous and insane. And of course, there's construction going on behind me, so they have this truck that's apparently stuck in reverse. That's all I'm hearing is the backup beeper. So we have this issue of the constant rhetoric of blaming and vilifying, not just blaming, but vilifying the unvaccinated. While all this is going on, we're hearing out of Denmark as well as out of some other countries, there have been some serious studies. And Denmark actually has a deal where you can be tested for antibodies and it is just like having a vaccine passport. It's just like if you've been vaccinated. You're qualified just like as a vaccinated person is. Because there are now three major studies, peer-reviewed, that have come out recently that are saying that the antibodies look like they can stay in a person for up to a year. Now, this is keep in mind, this thing has only been out for about a year, realistically, a little over a year. And the natural immunity to this thing is actually more effective than earlier believed, especially against the Delta virus, the Delta variant, if there is such a thing. Now, they're claiming there's three or four other variants out there. The Delta is the one that's most transmissible and most dangerous. Now, that is also a lie, because the studies that have come out have said, yes, it is 2 to 3 times more transmissible. In other words, it carries much easier from person to person. What they're not telling you is that it is less deadly. That is what the studies have also shown, that it is less deadly. Not in everybody, but overall, it is way less deadly. Now, conveniently enough, they can say, well, vaccinated people who have the Delta variant are surviving because they had the vaccination. All we're being told about is people who have been vaccinated and they're surviving because of the vaccine. Now, you realize that the survivability rate of this thing is 99.5% on anybody under 65. It's even higher than that. So if you didn't get the vaccine and you get the virus and you survive it, can you blame the vaccination? No. You can't give the vaccination any credit. But if you do have the vaccination and you get the virus, now you can blame survivability on having been vaccinated. We are not getting numbers. The numbers of people who have died from the vaccine, one, and two, died from COVID after the vaccination. We are not getting those numbers. And I guarantee you they're available. And they are in the thousands. And their answer to that is, well, it's, you know, we're going to lose a few people, sure. But it's worth it because we're going to, you know, in the end, we won't lose millions. These are the people, same people who will come out and say, if we can just save one life, we need to take away all the guns in the country if we can just save one life. Well, if a gun saves one life, then what does that mean? Yeah. Now, follow me on this for a moment. And this is where it gets really troublesome for me. I get really concerned. Think about this if we had single-payer health care right now. If the only option for you was government health insurance. And if you weren't vaccinated, what they could do with that? They could refuse care. Well, in order for you to be vaccinated, in order for you to keep your insurance and be paid for your other issues, you have to get vaccinated. You have to be cleared by being vaccinated. This is where we're heading, folks. This is the kind of control they have on your life in a situation in times like these. Imagine if single payer was in place right now. What they would do with that. Because they can. Not because they should, but because they are so self-righteous. And they have their own set of morality based on group think and group mentality and their power. They're not here to protect your individual rights. Now, the way they're going down this in some countries, and this is what I think this is how they're going to get it across, is they're going to say to, and this could even seep down into regular insurance companies, medical insurance companies. They are going to basically tell people that, well, the government's not going to mandate the vaccination, but they are pressing big companies. And again, this gets down to centralized companies, and the fewer small mom-and-pop small businesses there are, the more they have control over these bigger companies. They can press them to do the mandatory vaccinations. So you have companies like Walmart, big employers, that they're pressing and pushing into this idea that you have to get vaccinated in order to maintain your employment here. Now, at some point, the insurance companies are going to do the same thing. What is to stop an insurance company from saying, we're going to cancel your insurance unless you get vaccinated? There's nobody talking about this that I've heard yet, but I guarantee you it's being talked about in closed doors, behind closed doors, not in a closed door, but behind the closed doors in secret places. They are trying to figure out how to get everybody vaccinated. Damn the results. Damn the numbers. Let's just get everybody vaccinated. Because here's what bothers me about this vaccination thing, the numbers that I'm seeing and the reports that I'm hearing. The numbers of people who are getting COVID who have been vaccinated are alarmingly high. If there is a 90% effectiveness of this thing, of the vaccination, which some of these people are saying, that's what some of these companies are claiming, and you've got 25 to 30% of the people who are getting COVID have been vaccinated, those numbers don't work out for me. We need to press our representatives. Here's what we need to do. For anyone who has had COVID, if they can take an antibody test and show that they have antibodies, they are not required to get the vaccine. Anyone who has not been vaccinated should not be restricted from events. This is where we're heading. You can't go to the grocery store. You can't do this. Can't do that because you haven't been vaccinated. Can't go to the ball game. Can't go to this. Can't go to that. Can't go to school events. They're pushing down this road. This is where they're going with this. Now, they're not going to physically hold you down and give you the vaccine. Not yet. But they're going to make life limited for you. You're going to be an underclass individual if you haven't got the vaccine. This bothers me greatly. And the amount of pressure that big tech, the banking system, the medical health industry can put on you, you're on your own. You don't get vaccinated, you're on your own. If you do get vaccinated, I know Candace Owens basically said, have your employer sign a waiver that says, if anything at all happens to you, if you take this vaccine, that they will be held liable and accountable. I guarantee you, most employers will not do that for you. They will not sign that paper. Now, when this thing comes out as being fully FDA approved, you're going to see mandatory vaccinations coming down like crazy. Right now, the argument is, well, it's an experimental drug. Once it's FDA approved, you're going to see them push even harder. Now, the problem with this is, I don't think we're getting straight numbers on the vaccinations. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I'm concerned about this vaccine. And I'm just going to be straight up with you. It's the mRNA vaccine. First of all, I don't think it's as effective as they said it was. Strangely enough, we've vaccinated almost, the administration claims they've vaccinated 70 million, or 70% of the population. Other reports out there are that there's only about half the population has been fully vaccinated. There are severe concerns about the vaccinations. I'm hearing more and more personal accounts of people who have had the vaccination now are getting COVID. It does not seem to be stopping the spread, which is greatly concerning. It does not seem to be as effective against the Delta variant, even though they claim it is, because, well, if you get COVID, if you get the Delta variant, if you've been vaccinated, you'll survive it. We're not talking about death. We're just talking about cases now. Well, I'm not so sure that we weren't seeing a drop in deaths before. We've got much better therapeutics as well. They're not talking about that. We have extremely good therapeutics, in fact, now. In fact, it's now being finally kind of resolved that hydroxychloroquine, if caught at the right time and administered properly, does absolutely affect the outcome of having COVID. There are some serious, serious issues here. The big question to me is why the big push? Why such a push to get people vaccinated and using the fear-mongering techniques that they do to try to make this all, to push the whole thing? That's where the concern comes for me. And I'm hearing more and more of this rhetoric, even from people that I would have respected so much more before. They're saying, oh, well, you know, you should just get the vaccine. Just get the vaccine. Bill O'Reilly came out this last week and said, even Benjamin Franklin would have gotten the vaccine. You just have to give up this one thing, you know, first, so that we can all get back to normal life. How do you know what normal life is going to be when you find out 2 years from now this vaccine, you know, has some kind of side effect? I don't know if that's going to happen. Maybe this thing's perfectly fine. All I know is that other studies have shown that immunodeficiencies, and in fact, I even have a sinking feeling. This is just a hunch on my part. That the vaccine could actually cause variants. Because the vaccine will react to... Okay, think about it. The vaccine attacks a human being. The human being comes up with its own T cells. Now the T cells have this memory to be able to produce antibodies. It can. And I'm not a doctor, but I'm just kind of speculating here. The human body comes up with its own immune system defense against this virus. And the virus is defeated in that person. The person who gets a synthetic vaccination, virus attacks that person, and the virus somehow mutates because of it. Now, think about this. The Delta variant wasn't out until the vaccination started happening. Let's say this variant, or if it is a variant, if it's just something else happening. So the variant then responds to the antibodies, these synthetic antibodies, differently and becomes more susceptible or more aggressive to people who've had the vaccination or people who haven't had the vaccination, one way or the other. We're messing with things here, and we don't know exactly. But why the big push to get this done so quickly? One is because the election season's coming up, and they want to have that in their back pocket, that we defeated COVID. The other one is that they may know something that's not going well with this vaccination, especially since they're talking about boosters now. And they're continuing the rhetoric and the hysteria over wearing a mask and getting vaccinated and how deadly this virus is. With ridiculous alarming rates. Because they can use this, because they maybe know that this thing's going to collapse and there's going to be issues and they need to get it dealt with and done with and over with and beyond it, so they can come up with the next narrative and how they're going to put the fires out when things start falling apart. I don't know. These are my concerns. This is why I did a live show today. And hopefully this thing was recorded. Hopefully it went out live. I have a couple of people that have jumped in on the live broadcast. However, I don't know if they can hear me because I'm not even sure this thing's transmitting. Normally I have a green bar on the bottom and I don't have that today. So I'm not sure what's going on. The one person who entered the live chat is no longer here. So, once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with me this morning on this day and listening to me as I drink my chai. There will probably not be a show tonight. There probably will be a show tomorrow morning. Again, possibly a live show. I'm not sure I'll have time to record it and get everything done, so that's what's probably going to happen at that point. A lot of things that are troubling to me about what's going on and the rhetoric that I'm hearing and the direction I'm seeing things going and knowing the left, how they will go with this whole thing. So some of your comments, questions, concerns, thoughts. Maybe you see this thing way differently than I do. And I'd appreciate having some kind of conversation, discourse, whatever you want to call it. But in the meantime, I think we will just call this a show. So, once again, thank you for being with us. With me. No, there's no us, just me here. In my hotel in Manchester, New Hampshire. New Hampshire. It's going to turn out to be quite a week, I think. Quite a life. So hang in there, everybody. Pray for the nation. Pray for each other. And let's try to get through this. Because we're all in this together. So, united we stand, I guess. Something like that. Once again, thanks again for listening. God bless. Have a great week. And we'll have another show tomorrow. Good night, everybody.